Thank you, Sister Rebecca. Thank you, choir. They normally sing before I preach every Sunday morning. I was telling we have donuts in our classroom, our young married, and I told them I need that sugar. The more donuts I ate, the faster I preached and quicker I got done, and they kept trying to push donuts at me this morning. And then right before I walked up here, someone gave me a pack of sugar right here, but right before I walked up here, I got a text, Pastor, you're going to need another donut. Amen. We do want to turn our attention to the Word of God this morning. And if you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, appreciate everybody that had a role in making this service special and honoring our fathers this morning. Thank you one more time, visitors, for being here and making it special for someone. As you're turning, let me say this just quickly about our night service. Brother Michael that drives the bus, and we've had an exciting thing happen. We've had a lot of those that come on our vehicles that have been really getting in and getting something from God, and they've been coming on Sunday night too. And this morning they were on the way to church, and they were talking about coming on Sunday night, and one that has probably just started coming or only comes on Sunday morning asked, well, why in the world would you want to come again on Sunday night? And the answer was simply this, because they're having church. Wow. That's great, isn't it? Amen. And it wasn't just having a meeting, but because they were having church. Praise the Lord. So come tonight and expect from the Lord. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Amen. I just want to read verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Did I tell you the chapter or anything? Did I? Chapter 3, verse 9. I heard someone who didn't know the chapter. Okay, here we go. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Or like we'd say down south, where are you at? Where are you at? Where art thou? I want to preach this morning on when God comes looking for a man. When God comes looking for a man. Would you pray with me and for me? Father, this morning, make this an eternal moment. God, we're here because of you. You're our creator. You're our redeemer. And Lord, as we honor fathers, we desire that you would do an eternal work in our hearts this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Since Eve was the first to sin, I often blame Eve for the mess our world's in. Every time I get a mosquito bite, I got a bunch of them. They just kind of bombarded me yesterday when I was mowing. Whenever I get a mosquito bite, I say, that's Eve's fault. When the kids used to get sick, Eve's fault. But did you know, I hate to admit this, but I'm really not correct. How many knows it's not really Eve's fault? Now, listen, by the way, women, this is your day to say amen, okay? Eve did first take of the fruit. Eve first did eat of the fruit. Eve did first sin. But did you notice something? Even though Eve first sinned, God came looking for Adam. He didn't say, Eve, where art thou? He said, Adam. The woman first sinned, but God came looking for the man. Eve listened to the serpent, but God came looking for the man. And you know, you've heard the story many times, but let me briefly tell you. One day, as God no doubt customarily did, he came into the garden in the evening to chat with Adam and Eve. But this time, Adam begins to run. Adam begins to hide. Adam has never acted this way before. He is acting strange. That's like kind of being in a service. Where's my prop at? Brother Brian, oh, there you are. Hey, man, you come into service and Brother Brian's standing. He's standing up. He's got his hands in the air. He's worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, we sense God come into place. And so immediately his hands go down and he starts hiding. I mean, what'd you think if Brother Brian started acting like that as the Spirit of the Lord moved? Amen. You'd know something strange is going. What is it? What's with it? With Brother, okay, shut it on your way out. Amen. I mean, why is he acting that way at the presence of the Lord? Why was Adam trying to hide? He was trying to hide because he had sinned. God had given him hundreds of trees in the garden to partake of, to eat of. And yet Adam has eaten of the one tree that God said, don't eat of that tree. I want you to notice in the garden, God just gave them one commandment. He just gave them one requirement. He just gave them one thing that he desired. And yet Adam and Eve defied God, sinned against God, broke that requirement. But I want you to notice with Adam, he wasn't just acting strange because he had sinned. He was acting strange because what he was feeling. You see, there's something about it. When a man goes against the law of God, he knows he's done something wrong. His conscience smites him. He feels the effects of his sin. He feels guilt. He feels shame. He feels condemnation. But I want you to know something else. Adam wasn't just trying to hide because he felt guilt and shame. He was trying to hide because God had come looking for him. Amen. I want you to know this morning, whether in the church or outside of the church, much of man's strange behavior, it can simply be contributed to he is running from God. He's trying to get away from a guilty conscience and an emptiness and an empty life. Amen. Adam was trying to hide. He felt the effects of his sin. God had come looking for him. I may not be able to tell everybody, but I can tell you this morning if you're here. Amen. When you feel guilt, when you feel shame, when you feel your conscience smite you, when you feel emptiness within, could I tell you that is God who has come looking for you. It's God who is searching for you. Amen. I'd like to ask the question this morning, why did God come looking for Adam? I mean, I know that seems like an apparent thing, but to answer the question, why did God come looking for Adam, will tell us why God comes looking for any man, any person. I know the obvious answer is God came looking because Adam disobeyed. Adam sinned. It's like you dads, you tell your kids, leave my tools alone in the garage. And you look out the window, and after an hour of staring out the kitchen window, you see a tool laying out in the lawn. You know what you do as soon as you see that tool out there? You go looking for those kids. Because you told them to leave the tools alone. Amen. You told your young boys quit throwing the ball. You hear something going on in the other room and suddenly you hear a lamp breaking and crashing to the floor. What do you first do? You go looking for those kids. They've done something wrong. I know the obvious answer is Adam disobeyed God and God came looking for him because of his disobedience. Oh, but it's deeper than that. I want to preach this morning that God came looking for man, first of all, because he loved him and he wanted to save him. God loved Adam and wanted to save him. Oh, what a wondrous truth. Amen. Adam messed up. Adam blew it. Adam sinned. Adam rebelled. And yet, in spite of that, God came looking. God came seeking for him. Oh, I wish our world could hear what I'm about to tell you. We're living in a world that says all religions are the same. All faiths lead to God. That's a lie. All religions are not the same. And let me give you one of the biggest differences. It's a wonderful thing. In all the other religions of the world, what we see is man looking for God. But in Christianity, we see a different picture. It's not man looking for God. It's God come looking for man. Oh, hallelujah. Why? Because he loves man and he wants to save him. We must never forget that God did not have to come looking for Adam. He did. The moment Adam sinned, God could have incinerated Adam just like that and said, I'm through with this having a human business. God could have caused Adam to go into an oblivion and reach down in the clay and formed another man. God did not have to come seeking for Adam. Oh, but he did. I said, but he did. Why? Because God loved that man, even in his rebellion, even in his sin. God loved him. Oh, we got to get a hold of this. Because even in our sin, even in our rebellion, God could have done away with us. Said, I'm through. That's it. I'm done. And yet God didn't do that. Aren't you glad this morning he came looking for you? Even when you messed up, even when you blew it, even when you rebelled, God came looking. Adam need to be saved, not just because he broke God's law, but because he was destroying himself and his wife and his family to be by his rebellion. I'm glad I can preach this morning what Paul said. God has commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we straightened up our lives. He didn't wait till we got it all together. Even when we were sinners, even when Adam was in the wrong, God came looking for him. Could I shout out this morning that Jesus coming and dying on the cross was God come looking for man. Hallelujah. God came looking for Adam when all the while he knew exactly where Adam was. Have you ever thought about that? God being God knew what bush Adam was behind. Why did God come looking? God knew where Adam was, but Adam needed to know where Adam was. I'll tell you, when God comes looking for a person, amen, he wants them to know exactly where they're at, lost without him. But here's the wonderful thing. God was not content to leave Adam hidden behind the bush in the garden. God was not content to leave Adam in the mess that he was in. He came looking for him. I know there's a lot of people, their lives are in a mess. Alcoholism and drug addiction and promiscuity and emptiness. But I want to tell you, just like Adam, God's not content to leave a man hidden in his sin, hidden in his addiction, hidden in his waywardness. God comes looking. I said, I believe it even in this service. God is looking for somebody because he loves you and wants to save you. Secondly, God came looking for Adam because Adam was responsible. I started this message with this thought, Eve first ate of the fruit. But God didn't come looking for Eve. He came looking for Adam. Why was that? Because in a sense, God was saying, Adam, you're responsible. Did you know God put Adam in the garden before he created Eve? And before he created Eve, he said, there's only one tree you can't eat of. He left it to man to tell the later created woman. He left it to man to tell her, that tree we're not to eat of. God told Adam, not Adam and Eve, not Eve. God told Adam, you can eat of every tree in the garden, but you're not to eat of that tree. Amen. Verse 15 of the chapter 2. The Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And I didn't put the other verse there, but he said, man, you keep this garden and you don't eat of that tree. Adam, God was saying, this is your home. Take care of it. This is your home. You're responsible for it. Just as it should be. In most homes, it's dad that locks the doors. It's dad that checks out the noises that happen in the night. It's dad, as the little maggot boy said, slipped my mind just right there. Amen. It's him. It's dad that gets up when the robber's trying trying to get in. Amen. Why? Because God said to the man, you're responsible for the garden. You're responsible for the home. Amen. I want to tell you, dads across the building, you're not wimps, regardless of what our society has taught you to believe. You're not wimps. You're men. You're somebody God has put in charge of the garden and of the home. I'm not preaching male chauvinism. I'm not preaching discrimination. I'm preaching the word of God. God came looking for the man because the man was responsible. Amen. The only difference, dad, between you and your wife isn't that you can grow a beard. It goes further than that. Amen. Amen. That's not the only difference that the world would make. Amen. You are a man because God has chosen. Amen. And you have accepted the responsibilities of the home, of your wife, of your children. It isn't just what we conservatives define man as and as his role. It's not just what we're saying as conservatives. It's what God has designed. It's what God has spoken. Man, I put you in this garden. You take care of it. You're responsible. And so me and you join me in realizing our responsibility is provider, protector, priest of the home, preparing our family for eternity. God has assigned us this task, amen, to carry out our responsibilities in marriage and family. Let me just put it this way. If our dad in the house, God has appointed you as his divine agent in your home, amen, to bring about the kingdom of God and the rule of Jesus Christ to the precincts of your home. It's man God came looking for. Man was responsible. I want to ask you a question this morning. Where was Adam when Eve was being tempted by the serpent? You ever thought about that? Where was Adam when Eve was being tempted by the serpent and succumbing? Sharing very little of the story, the serpent came. Actually, Satan, using the medium of the snake, the serpent came and said to Eve, God's told you can't eat of any of the trees. Oh, Eve said, that's not right. God said, there's only one tree we can't eat of, and we can't even touch it. And the snake, Satan said to the snake, God's holding out on you. God's keeping back something from you. God's trying to keep you from having fun. He knows that if you eat of this tree, you're going to really experience something. I want to know, again, where was Adam when this conversation was taking place? Someone said, well, he wasn't there. He was somewhere else. Well, if he wasn't there, why wasn't he there? And if he wasn't there, he had to come back somewhere in the process, because the Bible says that Eve, after she had taken a bite, as she's chomping and chewing, she hands him the fruit. So he had to show up at some time. Where was Adam? You know, there's a worse possibility, and that is that when Eve was being tempted, Adam was there. And yet, through the whole temptation process, Adam didn't say anything. Adam didn't do anything. He just let his wife Eve be tempted. He stood silently by while she was talked to and tempted by the serpent. Even if that is true, Adam should have spoken up. Adam should have jumped between the old snake and Eve and say, leave my wife alone. I want to tell you, when Satan comes tempting wives and children, when he comes tempting, it's up to dad to jump between wife and children and that old snake and say, leave my wife, leave my children, leave my home alone. Where was Adam at? I got another question. Why did Adam allow the serpent in the garden to start with? You ever thought of that? I know the obvious answer is, well, Satan was only using the snake, and the snake was one of the animals, and all the animals at that time were in the garden. That's okay. That's good. But once Adam realized Satan was using the snake, he should have ran that snake right out of the garden. Listen to me across the building. I don't say this harshly or facetiously, But if you're a dad this morning and you're not serving Christ, by virtue of not serving Christ, giving your life to Jesus, you are allowing the snake into your home. Amen. Now listen, I don't put a lot of stock to dreams. I really don't. And I don't know if it's because I had this message percolating in my mind and heart or not. And I'm not going to tell you which home it was. But as vividly as if I were there this week, I dreamed I was in one of your homes. And the wife is frightened. She was jumping back and she was pointing. And a snake was running across the carpet and behind the couch and out behind the, just making its way. And I remember standing there in their home, and I was thinking, where's the husband at? Where's the husband at? And that wife, you could tell the fear. You could tell she just kept pointing at the snake. And I kept asking, where's the husband at? I want to tell you, Satan is wreaking havoc on marriage and home and children. And I believe the question is, where's the dad at? Where's the husband? The snake is in the house. I'm telling you, as soon as Adam realized that snake was tempting his wife, he should have picked up a stick, whatever he could find, and run that snake right out of the garden. Amen. But you see, it's worse than that. Adam not only let Eve be tempted and sin, he knowingly followed his wife into the sin with his eyes wide open. We know from Scripture, Paul tells us in 1 Timothy, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the trap. In other words, Adam wasn't fooled, but because of his wife, he willingly partook of the sin. That's the power. I'm not going to preach that message this morning, but that's the power of a woman, and it's a good power when used in the right way. That's the sway of a woman over her husband. Adam, wide open, eyes wide open, willingly took of that fruit. I'm telling you, it should have never been. I said, it should have never been. Adam should have jumped between that snake and his wife and said, my wife's not partaking, and neither am I. I know we live in a society that has taught a wife she doesn't need her husband. Can you hear me this morning? Amen. Men are taught, or wives are taught, they don't need a husband. Children are taught by the media, they don't need a father. Amen. Men are taught they aren't to take leadership. They aren't to take the lead. But I'm telling you, regardless of what our society teaches, it needs to be proclaimed one more time. God holds the man of the house responsible for that house. And that's why he came looking for Adam. Adam, you're responsible for this household. Amen. When the wife is struggling, she's hurting, she's lonely. Dad, where are you? When the children are bringing dark things into the home via internet, TV, through the music, through the peers they run with. Dad, where are you? When Satan is attacking and tearing up your home with temptations. Dad, where are you? When the pastor is under fire for trying to preach the word of God and truth that'll keep homes from being destroyed and marriages submarined. Amen. Dad, where are you? Amen. When it's altar time, Dad, where are you? When it's church time, Dad, where are you? Adam, where are you? You're responsible for this home. And God came looking. Next, why did God come looking for Adam? Because in finding Adam, he would find Eve too. Look at verse 8. And they, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. God knew by his own design that man is the key to every home. I'm going to tell you this. I'm not preaching the inferiority of women. If you pick that up, you're picking up the wrong thing. But God did design some things a certain way. And you know what God knew? God knew if he found the man, he was also going to find a woman. He came looking for Adam, but he knew if he found Adam, he'd find Eve too. I know because of the condition of the human heart, I know that there are exceptions. Amen. But in most cases, if the husband, if the father would serve God, the wife and children would too. I'm not telling you women don't have their own mind. Believe me, I've been married for 31 years. Women, where's she at? Oh, I'm on the wrong side. That's the problem when people move. You don't know where to hide. Women have their own mind. They should make their own decisions on those things. But God has designed it. If a man will say, as for me and my house, we'll serve. It don't always work that way. I know the condition of the human heart. But generally, it'll work that way. When the man says he'll serve God, amen, the wife will be found too. I've seen it over and over. Amen. One time, we was praying for a family. They wouldn't get saved. I talked to the wife one time, and she said, we've tried that before. My husband won't keep serving God. She said, why should I try? Well, listen, even though he had been on drug addiction and all that, he got saved. And I'm telling you, for a period of 2 years, he served God. He was in this church every time the doors were open. She didn't come. Amen. He'd bring the children sometimes. Sometimes they wouldn't come. She wouldn't come. But I'm telling you, in the midst of a revival one night, the wife did come to church. And that night she walked these aisles and gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ. She got saved. Amen. The children, they got saved. We're in our Christian school. The whole family was doing good. And then I saw something, amen, I've seen before and don't understand. He served God for 2 years, but after his wife got saved, he got out. I remember talking to him in person on the phone. I'd say, you're making the biggest mistake you've ever made. I know your wife's still trying to serve the Lord. Amen. But very likely, she'll quit serving the Lord. And look at the example you're setting for your son and your children. I said, man, you're going to lose your children. I know it. But he wouldn't come back and surrender to the Lord. It wasn't long till his wife quit serving the Lord. It wasn't long until his children quit serving the Lord. It's part of the design. I thought, oh, if that person had just been a man, a true man to fulfill the responsibilities of his family, he would have stayed in the house of God and said, I don't care what comes, what temptation, what trial. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, that family probably would still be on the pews in the building this morning. It's part of God's design. I want to tell you this morning, Dad, God is looking for you because he's also looking for your wife. He's looking for your children. Last of all, God came looking for Adam because, amen, there would be children coming. I know they didn't have any children yet, but there would be children coming. Amen. I've wondered many times this week, what would it have been like if God just let Adam be in his sin and then they had children? Amen. What mess would those children be in? What mess would those grandchildren be in if God just wiped his hands of Adam and said, live in your sin? And I know one of the three children of Adam, one of them turned out to be a bad apple. Amen. Cain did. But could I remind you that two of them, Abel and Seth, they served the Lord. I'm telling you, you don't know when you live your life what effect you'll have on the succeeding generations. I've seen homes, I'm not going to give you the stories because you have too. I've seen homes where dad decided not to serve God. His kids' lives are in a mess. His grandkids' lives are in a mess. And it goes on and on until grace finds somebody in that family. But I'm telling you, if dad will really serve the Lord, look at the possibility of his children serving the Lord and his grandchildren to look around on church day, on Father's Day. My children serve the Lord. My grandchildren. That's why God came looking for Adam. God knew this. Would you come, music? Then God was looking. God was the one looking for a man. Could I tell you, today it's not just God looking for a man. There's many wives that are looking for their man. There's lots of children. It's the tragedy of America. There's too many children looking for dad. Amen. Did you know even statistically churches now are looking for men? I'm not going to give you the statistics come tonight. I might give you a few. I don't know. But I believe even the world is looking for a man who will serve God, live for Him. Many of you have been blessed by his songs, but Gerald Crabb of the Crabb family was a hopeless alcoholic. God saved him right there on a rainy day in a little going bust car wash in Kentucky that he was trying to run. God saved him. And one of the songs that he wrote was, "He Came Looking for Me." Oh, hallelujah. After he wrote that, I'm sure Adam got to singing that in heaven, don't you? How many believes that? I sinned, I blew it, I messed up big time. Oh, but he came looking for me. Oh, hallelujah. I know time's gotten away from us, but could anyone just stop and think what a wonderful thing it was when you realized he came looking for me. Oh, hallelujah. Anyone want to just stop and lift a hand and worship him right now? He came looking. He came looking. You don't have to be my age to appreciate that. Hallelujah. What a good group of young people right here on the front row. But if you don't remember anything else about church, I want you to know something. If you haven't let him find you yet, God is looking for you. I'm talking about Creator God, the one that made the stars and the sun and the moon. God is looking for you. How do you know? Right there, that cross. Amen. When he hung there and bled, that was the biggest statement ever made that God had come looking for man. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Would you stand across the building? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I had drifted so far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. I wish somebody this morning would meet the one who has come looking for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to read any more of it. I just want you to know if you're here without God, it doesn't matter the mess your life is in. In this very service on Father's Day 2015, I'd like to tell you, Creator, Redeemer, God has come looking for you. I said, he's come looking for you. Hallelujah. If you need to be found, I said, if you need to be found, amen, we use these steps right here as an altar. If you need to be found by God, would you come down this aisle right now? Bow at these steps at this altar. Amen. We'll pray with you. But I want you to know God's looking for you. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? God's looking for you. Amen. I may not know your name. I may not know anything that you've done. I may not know the mess of your life. But I know one thing from the very beginning. When man blew it, when man messed up, God didn't leave him in the mess. He came looking for him. Hallelujah. Church, I want us to pray across the building. Go ahead and just lift up your hands. And if you're here and you need to be found, would you come? He'll save you. He'll change your life. He'll give you eternal life. Hallelujah. He'll give you a reason for living. And I'll tell you, once you're found by him, the guilt is gone. The shame is gone. The condemnation. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about it? He's looking for you. God, not me. Amen. Not the youth pastor. God is looking for you. Where are you? I may not know your name. Amen. Whatever your name is, John, Mary, Susie, whatever your name, God's calling your name. John, where are you? Adam, where are you? John, where are you? God is looking for you. Anybody here want to come and say, I need Jesus this morning. I need Jesus this morning. I need Jesus this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many remembers the day when you let him find you? You let him find you. You remember the day. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Church, I'm going to invite you to come to give thanks to the Lord. And if you're here and you need Christ today, your life can be changed on this Father's Day. Just come and kneel. We'll pray with you. Amen. Folks were in the altar last week having their lives changed. You can have your life changed this morning. Would you come, church? Amen. Lead the way. Come and thank the Lord. Amen. That He found you. Thank Him that He came looking for you. Hallelujah. Written by an alcoholic, He came looking for me. Won't you come with the church? You need Jesus. Why don't you come with the church? Hallelujah. Amen. Church, let's come and look around to see if there's not someone to pray with. Amen. Look around to see if there's not someone to pray with as you come. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, He's still looking this morning. He's looking. He's calling your name. Listen. Listen. Find someone to pray with this morning. You be the voice of God. Hallelujah. He came looking. Thank you, Jesus.